Welcome to episode 11 of Unraveling Karma, an evolutionary astrology podcast to deepen self-understanding and make changes for the better, at least to support you in doing those things. My name is Tom Jacobs. I'm an evolutionary astrologer and psychic medium and other things in Los Angeles, California, USA Earth. And I have two listener charts for you today. Oh, let me tell you, I'm on the web at tdjacobs.com. www.tdjacobs.com, where I offer two original natal reports. One's a true Black Moon Lilith natal report, which is original and kind of, it's kind of hot, I'll just be honest with you. It's cutting edge, and it really turns over the soil in a really helpful way. I get some really great feedback on it. If you're interested in Lilith at all, you should check it out at tdjacobs.com. And the other report is a Living in the Present Tense 2012 natal report, which is a new perspective based in channeling I've been doing on what exactly is going on with 2012 and how can humans prepare for the energetic shifts that are actually happening. Both of those are at tdjacobs.com. So I have two listener charts for you. The first one is Kate. Her birth data are June 10th. 1952, 1952, at 6:30 p.m. in Dublin, Ireland. And Kate wrote me with a question that kind of has a question within itself. So she asks, does my chart indicate an ability to use astrology competently as a tool for helping those I counsel in either a psychotherapeutic or spiritual capacity? The previous paragraph says, I'd love for you to tell me whether my increasing interest in astrology is a passing fad or something I should devote serious time to. She says she's been studying her own chart for years, mostly relating to just understanding herself, but as a therapist, she also tries to get the data of clients and would like to get more proficient at reading them. So when we go to Kate's chart, a couple of things jump out right away. The first thing is, there's a heavy 8th house emphasis where Sun, Mercury, Venus are in Gemini in the 8th, and then also Uranus and Lilith and Cancer in the 8th. So there's this heavy emphasis in the house of the natural psychologist. And then also with a Scorpio rising, that kind of underscores that. So there's this definite interest in that kind of depth work, and I definitely see that. At the same time, Pluto, which rules the 8th house and the Scorpio ascendant, is in Leo in the 9th house. And Pluto in the 9th house tells me that Kate's karma has a lot to do with issues, speed bumps, roadblocks, brick walls with belief systems. And so astrology is actually going to fit in there. So if, the first part of my 4-part answer is if it speaks to you as a tool and you don't get caught up in the issues surrounding belief of it, you know, that people believe it, because this karma, Pluto in the 9th, is about belief and also seeking the truth. What it says to me is that in Leo in the 9th, this is not reading it with all the other aspects, just kind of a broad stroke thing, is that it's really, really critical for you to find some kind of 9th house guiding principle that really lets you express what you believe. So if astrology is that vocabulary, go for it. The second part of my answer is, you have the North Node in Aquarius in the 3rd house. And that Pluto is on the South Node in Leo in the 9th. And so this North Node also has the asteroid Juno on it. And I don't read Juno strictly as marriage, but I read Juno as something to which we're committed in a very deep way, and this nodal structure says to me that your karmic past, what you're coming from, has a lot to do with being absorbed in issues about power when it comes to belief. What you're supposed to be learning now, what you're supposed to be developing now, is Aquarius 3rd house with Juno on it. And that's about freedom of thought. That's about originality. And that is this call to, Aquariously let go of the shackles of any kind of limited belief system that you may have inherited or that you may have encountered. And with Pluto on the ninth house south node, you might be somebody who has had a lot of experience in your life going from belief system to belief system, or seeking the right kind of expression of truth. So if astrology works for you, if astrology answers that, then you should definitely do it. At the same time, you have a third house Capricorn moon. And this is this question, and this is the element of the word competency in your question, where that third house Capricorn moon, the third house moon, needs to learn. Third house moon is the love of communication, the kind of need to do that. Yet Capricorn wants to put the brakes on everything. So you have this natural tension between Capricorn moon, which says, I want to be good at it. I want it to be right. It needs to be good. I need to, if I'm going to open my mouth, I need to know what I'm talking about. And then this Aquarius third house north node that says, you need to jump into new experience. And that's one of the things about Aquarius third house intersections, is new experience, new ideas, original, fresh, outside the mold, outside the box, destroying the boxes. Wherever you see a box, destroying it, and then working with what's left, which is what's authentic, probably a little forward-looking, probably not making everybody else comfortable, but freedom, freedom of thought, originality. So you can see that tension in there. And then one thing I want to point out, because you actually sent this question to me several months ago, and for some reason today it's appropriate for me to look at it. It's just scheduling-wise, this is how it came out. But the Chiron, Neptune, Jupiter, stellium in Aquarius is on that north node with Juno. So one of the things I wrote about recently, I mean, they're all about 25, 26 Aquarius, and it's 2 or 3 degrees. I've written recently on the Cosmic Path in my monthly column about 2 months in a row. The first one, which I guess is on June, you can find these articles linked from my site on my articles page. I wrote a long article about the invitation that Jupiter, Neptune, Chiron are presenting to us. So I would strongly recommend that you read that. And then also July's article, which is up now and also linked from my articles page, has a bit on them going retro and what it means in terms of what you were asked to do that I talked about in the June article when they're direct. I mean, the stellium is about making a leap of faith. And on your Aquarius third house north node, you're being asked to take a risk to free your mind. So, do you have the capacity to do astrology? Every single person has a capacity to do astrology. So, on one sense, I take your question and I turn it right back around and throw it back at you. What are you passionate about? Are you passionate about it? Does it light your fire? Does it get you going? Does it add the depth? Does your experience so far seem to open doors into the depth that you're looking for in order to do this 8th house Scorpionic Sun, Mercury, Venus, and Gemini 8th house work? I suspect that it does. It's just that your Pluto in the 9th and your 3rd house Capricorn moon have this combined complex of breaks. They may have some breaks on it. So the question for you is, in what ways don't you trust that you're going to be excellent at doing it? All of that said, so let's put a period on that and let's hit the carriage return a couple of times. All of that said, you also have Chiron retrograde in Capricorn in the second house. And I want you to kind of take in everything I said and then put that period there and now shift into this new mode. I'm talking about this Chiron. Chiron in the second house is a wounding to our self-esteem. Chiron in Capricorn is a wounding to our sense of being an authority. I do a lot of work on dialing people back up to the childhood wounds that Chiron always manifests as. But since I have a couple of minutes here, what I'll tell you is, this idea of competency is a big deal for you. Even forget the third house Capricorn moon, but the Chiron in Capricorn of the second house, this is a big deal. The Chiron wound for you is about, you know, the perception that you get to develop skills, talking about second house, in order to be self-reliant and to be an authority about those skills. One thing that's good about this is that it can always be a check where you ask yourself, am I competent? Any emotional charge, any difficulty, any emotional debris from the past about your own competency, about your own the validity of not of your interests and your skill levels, any emotional charge about that you need to deal with before you're going to be really confident in the astrological understanding you develop. One of the things about some of the, especially, well, I was going to say earth signs, but I want to say Virgo, Capricorn in particular, is that we think we're not ready to do the thing that we're learning or that we're perfecting. And, you know, Virgo and Capricorn have different reasons for this. Virgo because it's not perfect, and Capricorn because I don't know enough, or I'm not solid enough, I'm not authoritative enough, I haven't passed the test of time is probably going to be a big part of it for you. You know, this idea that, well, I'll just tell you, when I started going to Steve Forrest's apprenticeship program, I'd been studying astrology kind of hardcore for about 2 years, and there were people who'd been doing it for 10, 20, 30 years who I'd speak with over lunch or meals, and they couldn't believe where I was with it. And I have a second house son, so I had this question. I have this question, am I going to be good enough? Am I going to, you know, but I can tell you that it's not about time. It's not about time. It's about you trusting your intuition, trusting the part of you that wants to lead you into new knowledge, into new frontiers. This eighth house emphasis with the Scorpio rising and Pluto in the ninth. I mean, you know, one way of looking at it is that in order to be happy, you owe it to yourself to test out every possible avenue to helping people in the way that you do. Yet at the same time, your challenge, one of the challenges, is going to be in trusting that you made the right choice, and also trusting that your passion to do it, your interest in doing it, is more important than how much time you may have been doing it. You may be somebody who, after 3 years of in-depth study, says, I really don't think I'm ready to see clients, for example, or I'm not ready to really understand transits and progressions and paint the full picture for a person. And this is just going to be part of you keeping the brakes on things so that you don't make a fool out of yourself. But I'll tell you, wherever you are in your skill level, if you start attracting clients, or if you start putting the word out, I can do charts and I want to do this, then you're only going to attract what you can actually help. The level at which you actually are or below. And then as you evolve, you attract people with different kinds of situations and issues that you actually can't help. You're not going to attract anybody you can't help. So I'm going to leave that there, but thank you for writing, and I hope that that's useful. And again, I recommend those articles on my site on Jupiter, Neptune, Chiron, Stellium, and Aquarius, because that invitation is your invitation right now. Okay, Kate, thank you. Thanks for writing. And the second chart I have for you today is James. I'll give you his birth data. December 20th, 1962, 1962, at 4:35 a.m. in Universal City, California. James wrote me a long note kind of telling me a lot about his life and saying, I hope you can help me figure out my karma. So, James, you kind of gave me an open door into kind of, you know, reading between the lines a little bit here and how I'm going to go about talking about this. I think I'm going to end up addressing all of the points you made. Like, one of the things is one of the themes of your life is adoption, where coming from a very religious, well, your mother was coming from a very religious family who, you know, it wasn't acceptable to be pregnant at the age and time when she was, and so she ended up having you and giving you up for adoption. But then years and years later, you getting reconnected with them after searching. And then also the experience you had of the kind of oppressive, maybe not oppressive, but the kind of atmosphere in your adoptive family, and also being drawn to the performing arts and feeling more at home in Universal Studios, in Universal City than anywhere else. And so I wanted to kind of talk about all of that. Oh, and then also current family stuff with two daughters living in another state, and how it's not feasible or practical for you to go there, and yet this real importance that you feel about being a father and having that family. So let me just go over to your chart, and what the first thing I notice is that the South Node ruler, Uranus, in my vocabulary, South Node ruler indicates our roles in various lives. So our roles in the karmic past, the kind of situations we find ourselves in, the kind of expectations that we have of how our lives will be like. South Node would be, for those of you studying astrology, and I'll repeat it from other podcasts, but the South Node would be environments we're coming from. And the South Node ruler would represent the kind of roles we have in those environments. So James is a retrograde Uranus in Virgo at the end of the ninth house, right on the midheaven, conjunct Pluto, but opposing Chiron Jupiter in Pisces at the very end of the third house on the IC. So this has a lot to do with it, and also the to explaining the karma, and then also. True Black Moon Lilith is conjunct the moon in Libra in the 11th, and that has a lot to do with it as well. So I want to talk about each of these things. When we talk about South Node ruler being the roles, it's kind of how you expect to be treated. So at the soul level, you're holding emotional stuff that needs to manifest in certain situations so you can learn about what the stuff is. So hopefully I can help you see what that is today. At least to kind of open some door. The fourth house is about family, and the 10th house is about our place in the world. You could say it's work, the kind of one keyword opposite of the fourth house. So Jupiter Chiron in Pisces, right on the bottom of the chart, says that there's going to be Jupiter Chiron in Pisces family stuff for you. There's going to be wounding surrounding belief systems, and there's going to be an extremity in belief in the family system. Chiron touching the bottom of the chart always indicates wounding about family, and that it's opposing the South Node ruler, Uranus, right on the midheaven, says, yeah, you're coming from a family that is dealing with a lot of emotional and energetic sensitivity. And so, also with your mom, the literal mom fits in that fourth house. So the South Node ruler opposing that means, yeah, you're going to be far away from your family. You're going to be more comfortable in the world. You're going to be more inclined to create a family through your experiences outside the home in the world. So you were adopted, because people always ask questions when you talk about karma and family. Well, what if you're adopted? Well, if you are adopted or you're not adopted, it's all part of the soul's plan. It's all what you're trying to learn. So what you're trying to learn is, number one, who is real family? You created a family when you were a teenager at Universal City. And at the same time, the unresolved literal family situation, and it carries through to today. The situation with your daughters being in another state, and you would love to be close to them, is another manifestation of this. So the first question is, who is family? The second question is, what is it that can be done to create a sense of closeness with the actual family? Understanding that there is a lot of wounding happening. There's a lot of Chiron in all of your family scenarios. You did write that with your grandfather, with your birth grandfather, before he passed, years leading up to that, and then before he passed, you were able to resolve things. And so that is a model. That is a model for all of your family relationships now. And even as your daughters grow up, and eventually they'll have their own kids if they don't already. And for you to be a part of that family system, for you to feel a part of your own family system, kind of a high level of Chiron energy is needed. And what that means is, in the face of all of the wounding, in the face of all of the pain and all of the difficulty, your choice to have compassion and to be loving with absolutely no regard to the historical details is a big key for you karmically. The vibe from your note is not any kind of resentment or any kind of anger. But when you, so it's not that you wrote me a whiny note. It's not that at all. And so, you know, if you had, I'd say what you need to do is just for, you know, Chiron edification here for other people. What you would need to do is to learn to choose compassion, learn to be loving, learn to do that. So that's not the issue. But in the difficulties when you're dealing with these people, when you're dealing with your ex-wife, when you're dealing with your daughters, just that humble, that humble, open-hearted, this is what's happening right now, and what it is love, is the approach. So you're learning about separation from family. That's one of the things that you are learning karmically. And you need to learn that. And so for you to be able to file it appropriately and to take all of the pain that it causes, that it leads to, and to turn that around into the choice to generate love is a giant part of the healing for this setup, for this the setup of these symbols. Another part of the puzzle, another piece of my answer, I should say, is Moon and True Black Moon Lilith in Libra in the 11th. And this is another indicator of what's going on in the family, because the Moon is associated with the fourth house. And so we have an echo here of this family theme. And this is Moon Lilith is really important individually and also systemically, you know, in our families. Because what Lilith represents is our connection to the natural wild. What ends up happening, though, because we live in a Saturnian, control-oriented, let's not do anything crazy so that we don't rock the boat society, that wildness is not usually supported. In certain parts of the culture, that wildness is supported. Like I've wrote in an article once, war... wildness is supported, that kind of like wildness, war, sports, and also the sex industry. Wildness is totally welcome in these three places, and we kind of have these very specific places in our culture where it's okay to do that. But as far as somebody running around with a moon, your own emotive faculties, your own feeling nature, has this wildness connected to it. So it's going to mean that you are, you know, you're just going to naturally have a ton of deep, rich, wild emotions, maybe perhaps emotionally very erratic. You may have, it sounds like you've tempered that, or it feels to me from your email like you've tempered that, but, you know, this speaks to the family in terms of there's a wildness in the family and there's a suppression in the family history. So Chiron on the midheaven, on the IC, the bottom of the chart in Pisces, and the Moon with Lilith says to me that there's a lot of suppression of the true feeling nature. So part of your karma also has to do with really making peace with A, the intensity of your emotions, B, the roller coaster that they can take you on. I mean, this is how you're wired. So to learn to choose to love yourself, even if nobody else does, is a real big part of this. Because when we have Lilith with the Moon, And I actually have this too, and I work with a lot of people who have this aspect. You're carrying energy that's difficult for people in your family to work with, to accept and to handle. So you have to learn to love yourself, even if somebody else doesn't. For you, this sense of or this fact of adoption and having that distance and that disconnect, just to tell you, this is also happening with other people in your family. This is happening with your birth mother. This was this kind of dynamic, this wildness and the emotions, the strength, you know, the fire behind the emotive nature and the perhaps erratic nature of the emotions. Really changeable, and intense. What happens is we don't know how to deal with anger, and the Lilith has a lot to do with anger. So I say intense emotions, but I really also want to put a point to the fact that Lilith has a lot to do with anger and rage. The rage is about being mistreated for just behaving as we naturally will and just being who we are. An element of Lilith has to do with not compromising who we know we are. So I hope that gives you some. I hope that gives you some insight into some of the karmic dynamics. I feel like there's one more thing. I haven't been shown yet what it is. Well, one thing is this Neptune Venus in Scorpio in the 12th, and it's conjunct the asteroid Eros. It's also conjunct the asteroids Argentauri and Lucifer that I specialize in. And then one of the things is, and this is another invitation for you to really learn new levels in this life about what love is, because Neptune and Venus are in the house of connect, you know, in the house of mysticism, in the house of finding the direct connection to spirit or source or universe or God or goddess. So, you know, just adding to this, you know, what is family and where do we come from? You're also learning in this life about connecting with your spiritual family as well and finding out higher levels of love than just exist between two people. And that does have to do with finding people with whom you can kind of transcend that normal you and me vibe and the love, making the love to kind of transcend the regular daily interactions that people tend to have. So, James, thank you for writing, and I really appreciate you sending your question, and it was nice to kind of learn about you and meet you a little bit through the podcast, and I'm wishing you well and thanking you for writing. So that's the end of episode 11 of Unraveling Karma. My name is Tom Jacobs. You can find me on the web at tdjacobs.com. And if you have a question you would like answered in this style, now that you've heard a few episodes, you can write karma at tdjacobs.com and send your full birth data, your name, and if you want me to use your real name or an alias. Full birth data is day, month, year. Location of birth and time of day. And you can send that with your question. It can be long or short, and I will answer it in a future episode. Thank you for listening.